about the idea of big canned content, a blog in a box with pay-per-click driving it to the blog. Is that something we should explore, talking about it as an alternative to part of the audience?
Like what? Is there a particular vendor that you have in mind?
No, not a particular vendor, but let's take, for example, bring the blog.
Right.
You know, let's say they have a templated. We give you six topics a week, and then someone goes out there and just engages in a pay-per-click campaign to drive it to the site. You know, is that an option for some of the people out there?
You know, I don't love it, but I don't hate it. And it's certainly something that we could talk about. The reason that I don't love it is that I do think that Jay Thompson is on the right track, in the sense that I was talking about Kathy with this today, because there's a message or a post on Bloodhound Blog, Eric Blackwell posted yesterday on Bohica, which I will not explain what that means, but it's really vulgar. But it was kind of an old school of thought on real estate marketing that by holding on to your listings, you will hold on to your clients. And I really don't think that that's a viable proposition, because your listings are already gone. It doesn't really matter. They're already out there in IDX systems or whatever. And whether or not you're adding value to Trulia, it was Trulia in particular he was talking about, whether or not you're adding value to their database, which undoubtedly you are, the question is there a corresponding value in return? And our attitude, this is inside bloodhoundrealty.com, our attitude is, our job is to sell the house. I'm not selling the brokerage. I'm not selling me as an agent. I'm selling the house. And frankly, by selling the house, this is the primary arm of our marketing, is hitting home runs with the houses that we list. Because by selling the house, I am selling myself and I am selling the brokerage, but it's a secondary consequence. And all we're really interested in is in selling the house. And so, you know, getting in bed with somebody like Trulia or Zillow or Craigslist, which we do a lot of, does not matter to me at all. I don't really feel like I'm sending traffic away or hurting my search engine performance or anything at all like that. What I'm doing is selling the house. And I think that Jay Thompson is right on track with this in the sort of things that he's doing. And what I was talking to Kathy about was the idea of FUD from IBM way back when, IBM in the 50s or whatever, fear, uncertainty, and doubt. This is a kind of hostage-taking style of marketing that I really hate. I just really hate it. I hate to have people try to do it to me, and therefore I don't do it to people. It's just not in my approach to business, and I don't care if it works. If somebody says to me, well, yes, of course, but it really produces results, I don't care, because I don't want results that way. I don't want it done to me. I'm not going to do it to somebody else. And in the same kind of respect, a kind of canned blog with canned content, okay, fine, it's a way of drawing attention to you without a huge outlay of effort. You outlay money instead of effort, but it's also not honest. And it's the honesty, the authenticity, the approachability, the transparency of the Web 2.0 world that I really like. I like the idea of people being able to trust their realtor, or their lender for that matter. And if you start off, I mean, I went out once with a woman who I just casually asked, how old are you? And she immediately told me a lie, and boom, we're done. I mean, it was obviously a lie. And I guess that's something that women think they have to do, or maybe men do this too, who knows? But as far as I'm concerned, we were done forever. If you lie to me about this, what else are you going to lie to me about? And if I can't trust you to tell me the truth, there's nothing for us. There's really nothing between us. There's no way that we can have any kind of relationship. And I think that just applies in the world of sales and marketing also, that without honesty, without truth, there's nothing, and therefore it just doesn't work for me. I don't have a huge objection to it, but the objection I have to it is pretty substantial inside my own mind, because it's not something that I would do, of course, but also if I was aware that it was being done to me, I really wouldn't trust that person. Does that make sense?
So the canned blogs, or the canned blog, I don't want to say that, blog in a box, the pre-written blog with the pay-per-click driving traffic is almost like the 15-year-old picture, the 15-year-old Playboy picture on the business, the realtor business card.
Right, exactly. Exactly. It is the same kind of thing, and it is, or all of that other goofy crap that realtors do, million-dollar producer and things like that, that even if the client understands it, it's that part of it is, you know, that part of it is just not clients, but it's not client focused, client specific. I mean, my job is to do what you want. And okay. So I guess I'm conflating a bunch of different issues here.
No. We're on the right track here, because this is where I'm going to almost argue for this case is, so what if you are a good realtor, negotiator, marketer in terms of, you know, the real world, you know, the regular world, so to speak, and you just can't do the interactive marketing? Is there value then to offering a, I don't want to call it dishonest proposition, but a less than completely transparent and wholehearted effort in interactive marketing?
Why do it that way at all? If you're going to do a pay-per-click campaign, why not just drive it to your static website instead of to a weblog?
Those websites are static.
They are, but the SEO advantage of weblogs is going to go away. This is a huge myth, as far as I'm concerned, in the RENet, that we're all aware that weblogs get huge Google juice now. They get huge Google juice now just because the algorithm hasn't been revised to correct for the deficiency. So Google, you know, overweighted frequent updates in their algorithm. And in overweighting frequent updates, they inadvertently overweighted completely meaningless updates. And so any update to a weblog is cause for Google to come and spider the site. If Google is spidering you all the time and then they find out that you're updating all the time, they spider you even more. That's the way it works. And you get better results from it. But if post after post after post is recipes and cat blogs and notes about your mother's illness and stuff like that, then obviously this doesn't warrant that kind of attention, and eventually Google will correct things to weight weblogs in a different way, in a way that's more appropriate to the actual search value of the content. And so people who are scoring hugely, like I can watch it, but I watch Zillow.com, and we were number 2 on Zillow.com forever, and then we were number 3, and then we dropped down to number 7, and then we're back up to 5. We were 3 all last week, and now we're down to 4, and I just watched this travel up and down. And what I'm watching is incremental revisions in the Google algorithm that eventually will probably knock me down to 8 or 9, and I'll settle in there for Zillow.com, just because even though debunkingzilla.com has a lot of links and it has a whole lot of relevant content, it's actually not all that terribly important compared to a Fortune magazine article about Zillow, which I beat all the time. I beat that Fortune magazine article all the time, and yet the Fortune magazine article probably ought to beat me. And there's no reason in the world that the people inside Google can't discover that in the macro way, not regarding this particular micro issue, but in the overall macro way, realizing that higher validity sites, higher reputation sites are inherently more reliable and more valuable in terms of search results than weblogs, and therefore weblogs will get kicked down a peg. And so anticipating a huge ongoing SEO benefit from weblogs is probably a mistake. And again, this is why it's not terribly worthwhile to invest too much effort in SEO, because your real effort has to be devoted to making relationships with people. And the relationships that you're trying to make are, number one, completely sticky with that person so that they would never consider using anybody else, but ideally viral, so that they're telling everybody they know, friends, family, but everybody. The true sneezer is what Seth talks about, and it's The Idea Virus is the book. I always want to say the name of the book is Viral Marketing, but it's not. It's The Idea Virus. But the true sneezer is somebody who can't talk about, not only can't talk about anybody else in your line of work, but can't stop talking about you in any context whatever. And so your true sneezer shows up at a party and doesn't wait for somebody to mention real estate. They go around and start shaking hands and say, hey, let me ask you a question. Do you have any needs in real estate? Because I know a great realtor and I want you to use him. And if you can forge that kind of relationship, you're done with marketing. You're done with out-of-pocket expenses in marketing, because the sneezers that you have recruited are out there selling you all the time. And you know, you think, well, how could that possibly be? And then, you know, go outdoors and look at feet, and look at all those Nike shoes, look at all those iPods on belts. There are a whole bunch of products that you can, Starbucks. I mean, why is somebody waiting online for 2.5 hours to buy a $4 cup of coffee? That doesn't make any sense, and yet they do it all the time. And there are lots and lots and lots of products that have this kind of cachet, and that, I, as far as I'm concerned, that's what a real estate professional, whether it's a realtor or a lender, that's what you're looking to do. And it's not just blogging. You can do it all kinds of different ways. It doesn't have to be a web blog. It could be a static website. If it's good enough at eliciting the business, it'll work. But I think I told you about a realtor who came up to me at a podcamp that I did, and he was thanking me for all the video stuff that we did. And I don't consider that we've done a lot of video yet. We're going to do a lot more. But he was thanking me for the video stuff that we had done because he realized that he could do video. He had a web blog, and it was killing him because he doesn't like to write. And he was feeling guilty because he thought it should be something that he should be doing, and on and on and on. And then he realized he could do videos instead. And so he was making these 2 and 3 minute videos, practical information for his clients that he posts instead of a written post on his weblog, and his clients are eating it up, and it's working very well for him. But the same kind of thing, whether it's LinkedIn or MySpace or Facebook or the Squiddo thing that you mentioned earlier, it really doesn't matter. What matters is doing something. If the alternative is doing nothing or doing something that you already know costs a lot of money and doesn't work, then the third alternative is what we have to present to people. That there are all kinds of things that you can do out there that can draw attention to you and help you forge meaningful relationships with people, not phony relationships, not, you know, working a room is one of those phrases that I really hate because it just kind of implies a real prostitution relationship, and it's hard to figure out who's the whore and who's the John. But it's, I'm going
to
work.
Address that too.
What?
You shine your shoes, how to work the room properly.
There's a whole book on this, and it's just, you know, being at a party and talking to people and enjoying them and having fun, if the subject of real estate comes up, okay, fine, I don't care. But if your whole goal in going to a party or some kind of an event is to, you know, press as much flesh as possible and leave as many business cards behind as possible, then you're just going to annoy people. And as far as I'm concerned, the process of introspection, this is one of the things that I want to talk about in a big way at Bloodhound Blog Unchained, is simply the process of introspection. Look inside yourself and find everything that you hate about salespeople in the process of being sold, and stop doing that shit. Because if you hate it, everybody else hates it too.
Oh, I'll give you a great example. When I moved to San Diego, I joined the Solana Beach Chamber of Commerce, and I learned something at Chamber of Commerce meetings out in Goodyear. You know, when I lived out in Litchfield Park, Goodyear was just budding. You know, it was just becoming a real town. And the Chamber of Commerce meetings were so many insurance, real estate, and lending agents exchanging business cards. So the one thing I learned was to be the unagent.
Right.
That is, to be the bartender, you know, to be the guy that just goes and has fun. Practicing that here in Solana Beach, I said, oh, I'm going to join the Solana Beach Chamber. It's tiny. They meet once a month. They have these little happy hours, so I'll go to that and just have fun at them because I'll meet people. And the connections that are made from that, you know, hey, let me be the guy, let me be the bartender, let me be the guy that helps out with this rather than talking about lending, are greater than the occasional loan officer that gets, you know, shanghaied off the street to come in and hand out business cards.
You are a real person to them. You're a real person first and a lender second. And because they know you and they know they can trust you, then when they have a need, they're going to turn to you. And really, it doesn't have to be online. I mean, the ideal circumstance, and this is not new advice, but the ideal circumstance for every realtor and lender in the world is join your local Toastmasters club. You'll learn to be a better speaker, and you'll meet 30 people who are going to have need for your product. And you'll meet them, you'll know them. Not only that, you'll have need for their product, too, and you'll have people that you know and trust that you can turn to when you need life insurance or when you need a landscaping service or whatever product other people are involved in. They're all in business one way or another, and it's an excellent opportunity to meet people and become a better speaker.
So this is the carefully crafted unmarketing strategy as a marketing strategy.
I guess, but at a certain point, it's not even a strategy. At a certain point, it really is just kind of being a public persona and using that as the perfect example is Jeff Turner, and I really want Jeff Turner to be involved with what we're doing because I think it's amazing what he's done. The number of relationships that he has through Active Rain and other social media marketing efforts is just astounding, and he's not ever really selling his product at all, and yet the product sells like crazy. I think this is good marketing. I think it's really intelligent. You could say, okay, it's a business strategy. Yes, it is, and it's a long-range strategy. It doesn't have an immediate payoff. But as a long-term process of cultivation. If you think about it like, you know, tilling, fertilizing, putting seed down, raising the crop through the year, harvesting it at the end of the year, as a process of cultivation, it has a tremendous long run chance of success. The short run, I mean, there, lightning does strike, but don't bank the rent on it. But in the long run, you will cultivate relationships that will last for years, that will grow in all directions. We call them referral trees in our business. And so when somebody refers somebody, that creates a new referral tree. And when a referred party refers somebody else, then that's another separate referral tree that grows off the first one. But we follow these. We track them so that we know who's referring business to us, because obviously these are people that we want to take care of. They've taken care of us. We want to take care of them. And we also want to keep the referrals flowing. We also want to take care of people in other ways. And so people that we're involved with, whether as clients or they're vendors of ours, that if we forge a relationship that we like, obviously we want it to get stronger through time, because these are people who are taking care of us. And I firmly believe that you do well by doing good.
What about, then, let me go off that, the branches, the different branches of the tree that you're talking about here. What then about tailoring a marketing communications message, which is tailoring it to a group? I'll give you an example. You sell a house to Susie, who works for Pinnacle West in downtown Phoenix.
Right.
Who refers you to Bill, who's an engineer at the Palo Verde plant out at APS in Buckeye.
Right.
Who in turn turns you on to a bunch of engineer types in Palo Verde who are buying throughout the West Valley.
Right.
Does it make sense then, as you follow your tree and say, wow, you know, Judy put me into 25 different engineers, and they all seem to be really interested in things like, is it 2x6 construction versus 2x4?
Right.
Should you then, I won't say tailor, where I should start weighting your marketing message towards the value of 2x6 construction versus 2x4?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, you can do it with the marketing that you're already doing, or you can, you know, build something separate just for that audience. But yeah, and invite them to participate too. This is another one that we talked about in Real Estate Weblogging 101. And again, I'm much better at coming up with these ideas than I am at following through on them. But it works. I know it works. I mean, we live it. This is what Bloodhound Blog is, by the way. The reason that I know this works is because that's what we're doing with Bloodhound Blog. We're building a community of like minds who write together. And so if you have a bunch of hard-headed engineers at the Palo Verde Nuclear Power Plant who are not just interested in what they're doing at work, but interested in structural engineering in general, they're interested in the way that houses are put together, then build a separate weblog for them. I mean, you're going to own it, you're going to manage it, you're going to provide much of the content, but you're going to encourage the people among that group who really feel like writing about this stuff to start writing about it. And now not only do you have something that kind of keeps you connected with that community of engineers at Palo Verde, you also have something that's going to connect you with people who are interested in the engineering of residential structures nationwide. And you might end up with people contributing from all over the place, and it will sustain that community as a way of people communicating with each other about something that they're interested in, but it will also keep you in front of a population of people that you can do business with, either directly in suburban Arizona or by referral nationwide, that you can have people who are contacting you and saying, where can I find a realtor like you in Pittsburgh? And meanwhile, you're going to have email from realtors and
the 500,000 television, channel television.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is, that you are creating a long-tail community of people with a particular interest, and the number of people involved might not be very large, but they're all going to be homeowners. They're all going to buy and sell homes. And if you can create a community of interest for them that keeps you in front of them all the time, then it'll work. And I mean, normally we talk about this with respect to a hyperlocal weblog, so that, for instance, I live in North Central Phoenix, which is a great big neighborhood, but you could slice up a piece of it and create a weblog just for those people, just for that particular neighborhood, and then, you know, basically give it to the community, that you're going to go out and talk to people in the community, and you're going to meet people who are interested in sharing the information that they have and writing about it, and so you enlist them as contributors to this weblog. And the more of these people that you can enlist, the greater the pull of the weblog is going to be. For one reason, they're going to write stuff that other people are interested in, so they're going to show up to read it, but they're also going to promote it for you, because Vanity, thy name is author. Not vanity, thy name is woman. No, vanity, thy name is author. And This is actually funny. Doug Quance had a post today of Harlan Ellison bitching about amateur writers taking money out of the mouths of professionals. And I just think it's funny because the world is full of amateur writers. They just never had the time and the means to publish themselves before. And so we have this incredible wealth in this country. Despite all of these claims of recession and financial doom, people are rolling in dough, which means they have time to write. And meanwhile, they have this incredible technology and the internet, which gives them the ability to publish their thoughts. And when you create a situation like that for somebody who's always wanted to write and has lots and lots of stuff to say, they will market your hyperlocal weblog to everybody that they know in the neighborhood, plus all their friends and family, everybody that they know, including people all over the country. They will say, come and read my weblog. Even though it's really your weblog, they'll say, come and read my weblog. And again,
why does a local bar that has nothing going on Tuesday nights allow a garage band to have every Tuesday night and to let them take the cover fees at the door?
Right, exactly.
Because they bring 60 new customers in that weren't going to be there on Tuesday night. And those people, you know, patronize the place there.
There are all kinds of...
That's the beauty of bringing all these different authors in.
There are all kinds of little poker leagues going on, the same thing, that, you know, Hold'em, Texas Hold'em Poker is suddenly very popular. The last few years has been hugely popular. And so all of these little tiny dive bars that were always dead after 7 o'clock suddenly have poker tournaments going on from 7 to 11. And the place is packed, and the people are buying tons of drinks, and the bartender is just giving away tables that would have been empty otherwise. And yeah, this is, you know, you create a community of like minds.
Bowling league. It's the bowling league from the 50s, Greg.
It is, only you don't need a bowling alley. That's the beautiful thing. You don't need a bowling alley. I was talking to Kathy about this. Why is basketball the world's game? Right? You think about all the games that get played, soccer, football, tennis, et cetera. Why is basketball the world's game? Because basketball requires the smallest footprint in real estate. That you can build a huge housing project in downtown Sao Paulo, Brazil, and you want to provide recreation facilities for the people, well, you certainly can't build a baseball diamond or a football field. It's way too much land, but you can build a basketball court or two. And suddenly you've got people in Sao Paulo playing basketball, a game they never even knew before, and producing superstars for the NBA all over the world because the footprint in real estate is so small. This is a marketing problem. How do you, you know, and the NBA didn't set out to solve this marketing problem. It solved itself because real estate is dear. And therefore, if you're going to provide physical recreation facilities, you want to do it in the smallest possible footprint in the land. This is all a side issue. What we're really talking about is forging, you know, creating communities of like minds. And the communities that you create don't have to have anything to do with real estate. It's just something that if you're interested in needlepoint, then you can start a needlepoint blog and get people involved in it and especially get other contributors involved. And now you've got a community of like minds who are showing up all the time and they know you as a person. They know that they can get along with you and they know that you do real estate. And so when the real estate need comes up, boom, you're there. And meanwhile, you've got an email relationship with these people also so that, you know, if you want to put them on your drip campaigns and stuff like that, if they give you permission, then you have a way of selling real estate to them all the time, but you probably don't even need to be selling real estate to them all the time. You just need to mention it in your blog posts every once in a while to remind them that you're in the real estate business so that they don't forget that when they do have a need, they want to turn to you. And this is all just about being a person. And by being a real person, you can do business. And it's not like we're the first people to discover this, but it may be that we're the last people to discover it because we've been so busy trying to figure out how to trick people into doing business with us. And it's not a trick. It doesn't have to be anyway.
Yeah, here's a good example of a hyperlocal blog that I know well of is Cheryl Johnson's Neela Live. I mean, I always joke about it over there. I put a post up there about once every 2 weeks, and I'm specifically taunting is not the right word, but I specifically try to be controversial to see if anybody will comment. And up until about 8 months ago, I thought, well, I guess nobody reads her. Wrong. They just don't comment.
Right.
I mean, she has built a community in Northeast Los Angeles. When I found out more about what she does, her weblog sprung from the Yahoo user forums, the Yahoo groups. She's been managing a Yahoo group for something like 10 years. Right. I looked at it and I said, wow, she's got like 380 members in that. And it went viral as soon as she added 10 authors to her hyperlocal blog. And if you look at Neela, real estate, Yeah, I mean, most of the posts are about art and things that are happening in the community.
Cool. Brilliant. Brilliant. And I do think this is the future. And the deal is, you know, if you listen to the Tom Hopkins types of the world, they'll say, if you want to lease 50 homes a year, and if you know that for every listing, every 10 listing appointments that you get, you will get one listing, and if you know that for every door that you knock on, every 10 doors that you knock on, that you will get one listing appointment, that means that you need to knock on 500 doors, or whatever it is, 5,000 doors, I don't even know. My answer is, no, what you need is 50 people who already know and trust you who are going to sell their homes in the coming year. And so maybe that means that you actually need a community of 500 or 5,000 people reading your weblog, but you don't need to be knocking on their doors and bothering them at dinner time and thrusting things into their hands and trying to get a magnet on their refrigerator and doing everything that you possibly can to make an annoyance of yourself, to be a total nuisance. What you need is people who already like and trust you and intend to do business with you when they have a need. And then, I mean, all you need to do is percolate that kind of community. It takes a while to build it, but you build that kind of community, and then when you need it, it's there for you. When they need you, you're there for them, and it just takes care of itself. And this is all passive. It's all leverage. It's all virtually cost-free. You have no huge marketing investment behind this, that if you can build something like this, then, and this, I call it beyond competition. You put yourself beyond competition. You are no longer living in fear of somebody else with a better refrigerator magnet.
Well, in fairness to Tom Hopkins, I mean, kind of a unique blending of the two is that millionaire real estate agent strategy, which is, you know, it's numbers. We know they're numbers, but the idea is that you're farming. It's a different farming than my parents practiced in the 1970s. You know, my mom's farming efforts as a real estate agent in the 70s was to hand out recipes and, you know, Thanksgiving wishes on
pumpkins
flyers.
And poppies and flags on the 4th of July. And yeah, I understand.
And that was very relevant in 1977.
It was. It was, again, it's a function of information inefficiency, though, that you had to do that kind of stuff because people didn't know in the first place. They didn't know what made for a better or worse realtor. And second, they had no way of discovering who was better or worse anyway. And third, you didn't have the ability to inexpensively maintain the kind of relationships that we're talking about. And so, yeah, I mean, I understand that it's a different thing for the times. It's a different style of marketing for the times. And really what we're talking about now is a style of marketing that in my, you know, I was talking about this on the Bloodhound Blog TV broadcast on Sunday, and I don't know that I really made the point, but my idea is that if this really works, that we should see a substantial reduction in the number of agents out there because we have at least twice as many realtors in the National Association of Realtors as we actually need, at least twice as many. In terms of, you know, a sustainable business, people building a sustainable business out of the number of transactions that they're doing, that we're double the number that we need to be. And if we find better ways of connecting and communicating with people, then all of those old ways are going to fail, are going to fail even worse than they're already failing, and those people are going to be pushed out of the business. In other words, the people who learn how to do what we're talking about should thrive. If they get good at it, if they do it well, if they stick with it, they should thrive, and the people who don't learn this stuff are going to be pushed out of the business because they'll go from doing...
This is kind of one of the thoughts that I have about Unchained, and that is, let's recognize, for lack of a better way to put it, what we're involved in today is television in 1949. And entertainment or information is one of the things we can provide. And you brought up the point earlier, well, gosh, what if I'm not a good writer or what if I'm not a good blogger? Well, fine, you know, play over on the video side, play over on the podcasting side. As long as you're providing interesting and intelligent and, well, I shouldn't even say intelligent, interesting and useful content that
right.
keeps people coming back, you can create a community.
That's exactly right.
And if you have one of the 500,000 channels, one of the 500,000 channels, and it just happens to be, duck hunting Democrats from South Dakota, but they all buy homes, then, you know, you have created a niche for yourself in the interactive market world.
That's right. That's exactly right. And because it's global, imagine the duck hunting Democrats in South Dakota, only now you're selling them properties that they can use for their duck hunting pursuit. Not selling them homes to live in, but you're selling them vacation homes that they can use to pursue their passion of duck hunting in South Dakota, and now you have a global marketplace. And
sure,
there's only
like South Dakota that are going
to
come.
The people who are going to buy your properties are all over the world, but they're only going to come to you. And if you have that level of fascination, and there are people out there who are that fascinated by something, then they're going to read your blog year-round. Even though they're only going to buy one property every 5 or 6 years, buy one, sell one, they're going to read your blog year-round because you're feeding their fascination. You're providing them with information that they can't obtain anywhere else.
And the point of reference for this, if you're listening, is back in January, is when you did the, is it called Think Globally, Act Blog Locally? Or
right,
no?
Yeah, something like that. I forget. I'll link to it if we post this podcast. I'll link to it.
Yeah, that's a good one for people to look at.
Yeah, that was the beginning of the idea of the hyperlocal weblog for me, was, you know, thinking about how you could enlist this kind of community of like minds, so that they become.
By the way, that came out of an unconference. That came out of a that idea spawned from a somewhat disorganized. Let's all get together and talk for 2 hours.
How is this now? What are you talking about? You lost me.
You got that from the original. Southwest, first annual Southwest Bloggers Conference at the Phoenix Library in January.
Did I? I don't even remember that. So, yeah, cool.
It might have been in your head prior to that, but that's when you came out with it. Ah. You know, a little informal, as you called it, a weblogging salon where we all just finally, you know, reached across the digital divide and shook hands. And said, you know, I remember that because I remember you talking about it and me looking at you like you had three heads and going, where's he going with this? And then 2 days later, you put the post up, and I went, I see exactly where he's going with it.
Right, and I had been thinking about that because it was obvious to me that the big push in 2007 was going to be toward local weblogging. That somebody posted a complaint about it. Wade Young posted a comment about it yesterday, that webloggers are all talking to each other. And it was obvious to me through 2006 that was reasonably true in 2006, but it wasn't going to work as a marketing strategy. And so what would work as a marketing strategy, and frankly, Real Estate Weblogging 101 grew out of that one idea that that you need to find a way to connect at the most micro possible level and get people involved there, and then you're dealing with exactly the people that you want to be talking to. And if somebody else shows up, if I show up at your weblog, I get mail from people all the time, Greg, thanks so much for coming to my weblog. If I show up at your weblog, that means nothing. I am useless to you, unless I link to you, and then you can scream huzzah, but I'm not going to buy anything in your market. I'm not going to sell anything in your market, and therefore I'm useless to you. And the people that you need to be talking to, if you're running a local real estate weblog, the people that you need to be talking to are the people who are capable of buying and selling in your market. Then they don't necessarily live in your market, but you need to, you know, specifically identify who you're talking to and then figure out how you're going to connect with them. So we have, you know,
the word Vanilla Pepsi taught us that. I mean,
exactly.
At that little weblogging salon, when Jay Thompson told the Vanilla Pepsi story, that's when we all looked around and started going, ooh.
And now this is a global connection, and, you know, it may or may not turn into business, but, you know, I used to spend, back in the good old days, I used to be able to spend like 6 cents on a keyword for pay-per-click, right? And I spend 6 cents on a keyword, and it turns into a sale, and the sale is worth $9,000 to me. Well, that's an incredible investment. But now take away the 6 cents, right? And Jay writes one post on Vanilla Pepsi, and maybe it only turns into one transaction forever. But that's $9,000 for free. You know, he was going to write about Vanilla Pepsi anyway. And maybe most of what you do never turns into anything. But let's face it, most pay-per-click advertising and most advertising generally turns into nothing. Now we're talking about something that you can do that costs you nothing but your time and could turn into $9,000 or could turn into $90,000 or $900,000 over the life of your weblog. This is an incredible leveraged investment. That's what I was talking about, the leverage of the long tail. This is an incredible leveraged investment. And you really have no idea what's going to do it for you. And, you know, so what you're left with is, you know, being topical, being appropriate, being apposite, you know, talking about your market, talking about stuff that works in your market, but also just being yourself. And so if you have, you know, a bug in your ear about Vanilla Pepsi, then go ahead and write it. Don't worry about it. Because it's one...
The fact, The back end of your weblog will tell you too. I mean, all you have to do is look on the searches section, and people will tell you what they're looking for.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. That'll tell you what kind of good content. Look at the search terms that they're using on the way in, and that'll tell you what kind of content is already scoring for you. But even then, something like Vanilla Pepsi can turn into a transaction with, you know, you have no intention of ever turning it into a transaction, and maybe it only gets hit one time. You may only have one search on Vanilla Pepsi, and yet that could turn into a transaction. You have no idea what's going to work, but what we know is that in the long run, by you know, working in particular kinds of fields with particular kinds of fertilizer, particular kinds of seed, that you can expect a particular kind of harvest in the long run. And that really is...
My Vanilla Pepsi story is the Rocky Balboa from, I talked about that movie one night after I watched it, and I look on my back end, and I'm amazed. There's 10 searches a day for the movie Rocky Balboa.
What really could work for you also is that it connects with your Philadelphia background. And so somebody comes in, they're searching for something about Rocky Balboa, and they land on your site, and they realize that it's not what they're looking for, and yet they find themselves reading anyway. And they read along, and they discover that you're from Philadelphia, and this is, you know, two connections that you have with this person. You're from Philadelphia, and you like the Rocky movies. And so you have that much in common. And so, boom, they hit that RSS button at the top. And now they're a subscriber. And that doesn't really mean anything. They're just happy to see everything that you write. But the more they read you, the more they realize that you're the kind of lender that they know they can trust. You're the kind of lender who's going to give them the straight dope. No matter how painful it might be, you're always going to tell them the truth. And then, boom, all of a sudden there's a need for, and you're lucky enough that you can write in 43 states or whatever, that you don't need people to be in Southern California for you to do business with them. But all of a sudden they have a need, or their mother has a need, or a friend has a need. And now I know Brian Brady in Del Mar, and yes, he's in California, but he can ride in Pennsylvania. He can take care of us, or they're moving to San Diego, or whatever. I mean, there are all kinds of things that could happen as a consequence for your having made this connection, which was entirely a matter of serendipity to begin with. They weren't even looking for you. They found you without looking for you. That's what serendipity means, to find without having sought.
Just met.
There we go. And as far as I'm concerned, that's the benefit. And, you know, there are other things that you can do that have probably a more reliable, more immediate payoff. But as far as I'm concerned, in the long run, there's nothing you can do that can put you beyond competition with a population of people. And that population may not be big enough to support your whole business. You may need to be doing other things as well. But in the long run, doing these kinds of things can put you beyond competition so that you don't have to worry about somebody with a better magnet or a better pumpkin or a better spiel.
Well, that was a fun little 40 minutes or so.
Okay, this is good. This is really, really good. This is free content. So this is just a little taste of what you can expect at Bloodhound Blog Unchained.
That'll be the fun stuff for it, Greg. And that's why when I know we're having these conversations and I know we're both going on something, that's why I'm saying flip right. The on button.
Right, right. Good. Good thinking. Are we done? Are we going to go?
Yeah.
I'm going to clip this at the start and the end, and it'll be online in an hour or so.
Awesome. I'll talk to you later.
Bless you, sir. Thank you so much.
Okay, good.
Bye-bye.